Praise be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So I've been at St. Mark long enough to know that we have the best cooks. So don't think I'm being condescending here, but I would like to explain how to bake a cake. And I call this the parent cake, and it's one that I'm sure every mother has made. So you first preheat the oven. You get the utensils out. You set the ingredients on the counter. You remove all the blocks and all the toys. You grease the pan and you crack the nuts. You measure 2 cups of flour. Remove the baby's hands from the flour. Wash the flour off the baby. Remeasure that flour. And then you pour the flour and the baking powder and salt into the bowl. Then you get the dustpan out and you brush up pieces of the bowl that the baby knocked onto the floor. And then you get another bowl and then you answer the doorbell. You return to the kitchen, remove the baby's hands from the bowl, wash the baby, answer the phone, return, remove 1/4 inch of salt from the pan, and you look for the baby. You grease another pan, answer another phone call, return to the kitchen, and find the baby. You remove him from the bowl, and you take the greased pan, head for the baby who flees, knocking that bowl off the table. You wash the kitchen floor. You wash the tables and the walls. You go to Giant Eagle and you buy your cake. How many of you remember making this cake? I know my parents have. I know I have. I know my parents' parents have. And I'm sure that each one of you can say the same thing, either about your own children or about your parents. And what you relate to is not making the cake, but it's about the trials and the tribulations of raising a child. It's about those endless, sleepless nights as you comfort and feed your infant. And then it's about the inability to simply run to the store because preparation takes far longer than the shopping itself. And it's, well, let's be honest, it's about the terrible twos. And it's about the stress that you experience when you let go of your child's hand as they walk into the first day of school without you. And it's about the new sleeplessness as they begin to date. And let's not forget, it's about those teenage years, the sequel to the terrible twos. Now, we may laugh at this illustration, but we all recognize that underneath the humor is real life. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it even hurts. And each one of us lives through our own sufferings. Whether it's sickness or joblessness or divorce or even death. And as we walk through our dark valley, we find strength. We find strength through the Holy Spirit as He is in constant intercession with God on our behalf. And we find strength through the power of the Word of God as we dedicate ourselves to the Scriptures. And we find strength through St. Mark as we surround each other in support and in encouragement. And we find strength through the knowledge and the assurance that we are not the first to travel through this valley. But we also find comfort. We find comfort in knowing that our suffering is not unique. And just like the cake illustration, we can look back at the lives of all of those who have came before us. And we know that they too have experienced the same trials. We are not unique in our suffering. And this is what the epistle reading teaches us this morning. In every case, we see not only the struggle, but also the response. And I'd like to note just a few of them. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. And by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And by faith, Rahab did not perish. So let's go back to the first verse and we'll see what I mean. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he, who had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac, your offspring shall be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. You see, Abraham didn't turn to God after he realized that he was being tested. He had turned to God before the trial even began. Long before this day, the Holy Spirit had found residence in Abraham's heart and had begun the work of growing his faith. And as Abraham's faith grew, he became morally prepared for the trials and the tests that would be placed before him. It was exactly because of his relationship with God that when he found himself tested, when he found himself being asked to sacrifice his only son, he could respond to it by faith. By faith, he obeyed God, who promised him a son, and now asked to give him up. Can you imagine this scenario? If Abraham's faith was lacking, how different would his actions be? Where would Abraham turn? He couldn't turn to God, because it was God who was challenging him, who was testing his faith. Abraham would be lost. He would feel isolated and alone. And he would have no one to turn to. And one could imagine that he would feel that this challenge was unique to him. But he wasn't alone. For several thousand years later, God himself would do what he had asked of Abraham. But this time, God wouldn't spare his own son. You see, this is the faith that our forefathers have that Paul writes about. It's truly the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. It's the trust that Paul reminds us to place in God. And also for courage and for encouragement, he reminds us of others who have already done the same thing, who have already gone before us. You see, we are called to look back at that great cloud of witnesses and stay focused on Jesus. He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith. And through the waters of our baptism, we've become adopted sons. And we are called to know him, to rely on him, and to trust him. We must always allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to build a faith as strong as the prophet's. We must have faith in God before the trials of our lives, so that by faith, God will guide us through our valley. And we do this by remembering our baptism. We do this by supporting and strengthening each other, inside the church and outside of the church. We don't simply answer, "Yeah, I'm doing fine," when somebody asks how we're doing, when really we are so weighed down. We're so troubled with pain, with stress, that we just want to scream. Instead, we reply with honesty. We reply confident that the person asking is truly interested in our well-being. And we do this by seeking a prayer partner or a Stephen minister And we ask that they walk with us through these dark valleys in our lives, to be there with words of encouragement and actions of support and endless prayers on our behalf. And finally, we do this through our constant communication with God. We should never cease to talk to Him, to pour out our good and our bad, to leave nothing hidden from Him, to pour it all out at His feet, to remind ourselves that we have a God who loves us so much that He sent His one and only Son, and that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, to help us and to be with us forever, and to grow in us that same faith that allows us to know God, to trust Him, and to call out to Him. And we know and we have that assurance that He will answer us and strengthen us and sustain us forever. Would you pray with me? Lord, You know too well what suffering means for those that walk this earth. You cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me as You hung on the cross? Suffering excruciating physical pain, but also the incomprehensible pain of being separated from God, our Father. You knew before the first nail pierced Your body what was to happen. And yet by faith, You entered into the suffering for our sake. Lord, we ask that You soften our hearts today so that our faith can grow through the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we too, by faith, can endure our suffering, both in the present and in the trials of the future. Lord, in Your name we pray. Amen.